Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we are learning Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah Perek Dalet. In this perek, the Rambam continues with his explanation of the four elements and how they combine to produce everything that we're familiar with. This is essentially ancient chemistry. Nowadays, of course, we have a periodic table with over 100 elements and matter broken down into atoms and molecules. But in Aristotle's view, and this is what is adopted by the Rambam and many other scholars of the time, all of matter can be broken down into these four basic elements of earth, air, fire, and water, and there is no further subdivision than that. We start with Halacha Aleph. Arba agufim ha'elu shein esh v'ruach u'mayim v'aretz hem yisodot kol hanivraim lamata min harakia. These four elements, everything below the sky is created. V'chol shiyeh mi'adam u'mibimah v'of v'remes v'dag v'tzemach u'matechet v'avanim tovot margaliot v'shar avnei binyan v'harim g'ushe afara kol golmo mechubar me'arbi yisodot ha'elu. Everything, the Rambam lists here, humans, animals, fish, plants, metal, stones, pearls, everything else, mountains, blocks of dirt, all these are made from these four elements. Nimsu kol agufim shelamata min harakia chutz me'arba yisodot ha'elu mechubarim migolem v'tzura v'golem shelahem mechubar me'arba yisodot ha'elu aval kol echad me'arba yisodot ha'elu mechubar ela migolem v'tzura bilvad. Everything under the sky is composed of matter and form, and the matter of which it is composed is itself composed of these four elements. But these four elements themselves cannot be broken down. They are only composed of the primordial matter discussed at the end of Perek Gimel, and each element with a form associated to it. Halacha Bet, Derech ha'esh v'ruach liot malacha mimata mitabur ha'aretz lemala klapei rakia. The elements of fire and wind, their nature is to move upward from the earth towards the sky. Derech ha'mayim v'ha'aretz liot malacha mitachat ha'rakia lemata le'emtza. And the elements of water and earth have in their nature to go downward from the sky towards the earth. And the manner in which these four elements move is not because of their knowledge or their decision. These are inanimate elements, as we saw in the last parak. It's inherent nature to move in this manner. Teva ha'esh cham yavesh v'ukal nikulam. Here the Rambam goes on to describe all four elements in terms of two properties. That is their temperature, cham versus kar, warm versus cold, and their level of moisture, lach and yavesh, wet as opposed to dry. So the fire, he says, has the property of being warm and dry, and is the lightest of all four elements. The ruach cham v'lach. The wind is also warm, but it is moist. V'amayim karim v'lachim. Water is cold and moist. V'aretz yivesha kara. And earth is cold and dry. So it's all four possibilities for these two properties. And the earth is the heaviest of the four elements. The water is second heaviest. And therefore water is to be found above the earth. And the wind is lighter than the water. And therefore the wind is to be found above the water. And the fire is even lighter than the wind. Since these four elements comprise everything, so any object, and again he goes through the list of human, animal, fish, bird, plant, metal, rock, all are created from these four elements. When the four elements combine to form other objects, each one changes from what it looked like when it was by itself. Something can be made of these four elements, but not actually resemble earth, air, fire, water. So for metal, for instance, doesn't resemble any of the four, but it is composed of different parts of all four. And the change is so profound that you cannot isolate in any object. Again, take metal as an example. You cannot isolate earth from it. You cannot isolate water from it. The four elements are so mixed together that they cannot be separated. Though, as we'll see later, when objects decompose, then they eventually do decompose naturally into these four elements. V'chol guf v'guf ha'mechubar me'arbatan yimatzei bo kor v'chom lach v'yovish ke'echad. And therefore, those four attributes of cold and warm, moist and dry, you'll find together in all and everything that that's made of these four elements. Aval yesh mehem gufim shiyeh behem choska miyisod ha'esh, kama balei nefesh chaya, v'chach yirehem me'achom yoter. There are certain objects in which the fire is the dominant element, so they seem warmer, like, for instance, anything living. V'yesh mehem gufim shiyeh behem choska miyisod ha'aretz, kama vanim, v'chach yirehem ha'yovesh habeh. Things in which the earth elements are more pronounced, like rocks, will seem especially dry. So the reason why one object will be warmer than another is because it contains more of a warm element than the other one does. Similarly for dryness. You'll find these different attributes together, or one more dominant than the other, in different kinds of objects. The more there is of one element in some object, the more the properties of that element will be noticeable in that object, as we would expect. Anything which is created of these four elements ultimately gets decomposes into these four elements. Yeshu nifrad lachar yimim achadim, some only after a few days. Yeshu nifrad lachar shanim rabim, some only after many years. V'chol shetchaber mehem, iyav shor shalei pered lahem. It's impossible for something made of these four elements not to eventually decompose. Afilu hazahav v'haodem, iyav shor shalei pased v'yachshor lisodotav. Even gold, or odem, which is a kind of very hard rock, must eventually decompose. V'yachshor mishtato l'esh, mishtato l'maim, mishtato l'ruch, mishtato l'aretz, and parts of it will become earth, part air, part fire, and part water. Halacha dalet, hoil v'chol hanifrad le'elu yipared, since everything must ultimately decompose into these four elements, lama nemar la'adam ve'lafar tashuv. Why does God tell Adam HaRishon, after the sin of eating from the Eitz HaDaat, that you'll eventually return to dust? To afar. It sounds like you should go even further, down to earth, air, fire, and water. Lefi shirov binano min ha'afar. V'lo kol ha'nifsad kishipased miyad yachzor l'abra yisodot. Lepesed v'yachzor l'davar acher. The Rambam explains here that when we say that everything decomposes into the four elements, it's not necessarily a linear process, meaning something might begin to decompose, but then before it gets down to the four elements, be reconstituted into something else, and only later continue to decompose. Ultimately, though, everything, after it has gone through many cycles, will eventually be decomposed down to these four elements. These four elements are constantly changing one into the other. How so? Ketzad miktzata aretz hakrova min ha'mayim mishtanet u'mitpareret v'naseit mayim. There's an interface between water and earth, and so some of the earth adjacent to the water might decompose and become water. And similarly, some water might become wind. This might be what we think of as evaporation, where water turns into air. Wind, which is close to fire, can become fire. You can think of a fire that spreads by consuming the oxygen and the air around it. Fire can turn into wind. Maybe that's what smoke is. Wind can turn into water, and that would be condensation. And so to water, that is next to adjacent to earth, can become earth. This change happens very slowly over a long time. It'll never happen that one of the elements completely turns into another and there's none of that element left in the universe. That's impossible. There will always be some of each of these four elements. These changes are generally reciprocal. pulse, that where while some fire turns to wind, some wind will also turn to fire, and in the end we're left with all four elements still in existence. Halacha vav, v'shinui ze yeh b'sivat ha-galgal, u'misivivato yitchabru arba'atam. V'yeh mehem sh'ar golmei b'nei adam, v'nefesh chaya, v'tzemach, v'evenu matechet, v'akel noten l'chol golem v'golem tzura ha-ruyalo, al-yidei malach ha-siri, shu ha-tzura ha-nikret ishim. It is the motion of the outer sphere which causes these changes, the transformation of one element to another, as just described, and the combination of these four elements to create the golem, the matter, of people, of animals, of plants, of rocks, and of metal. And God then puts into each of these pieces of matter, each golem, the appropriate surah, the appropriate form, and that is done through the medium of the lowest type of malach, the 10th level that we discussed in the second parak, the level of malach called ishim. Halacha Zayin. V'olam ein ata roeh golem b'lo tzura, utzura b'lo golem, el lev ha'adam hush mechalek haguf hanimtza b'dato, v'yodeh shu mechubar migolem mitzura. The Rambam goes back here to discussing the general relationship between matter and form, and he says that we do not see in the world any pure matter without form, or any pure form without matter. In every physical object there is matter and form. It's only in our minds that we're able to intellectually distinguish between the matter of an object and its form. V'yodea shiyesh sham gufim shegolmam mechubar me'arba yisodot, v'gufim shegolmam pashut ve'ino mechubar me'golem acher. And similarly, in a person's mind, he knows that most objects are created from the four elements, but then there are certain objects, referring here to the celestial spheres, which are made of a special kind of golem that does not come from the four elements. V'atzurot she'ein lehem golem einan nirin la'ayin. Forms which have no matter, and this the Rambam said back in Perek Bet, are the angels, the malachim, cannot be seen by the naked eye. Ela be'ein halev him yiduim. They can only be understood by the intellect. Kol she'adanu adon hakol below riyat ayin. Just as we understand God without being able to see him. Halachachet nefesh kol basar hi tzurato shenatan lo hakel, v'adat ha'itira ha'mitzuya b'nafsho shel adam hi tzurat ha'adam hashlim b'dato. Now the Rambam gets into the nature of human being and says that human being has a special tzura, a special form, and that is his soul. By soul here we mean the intelligent soul, the fact that human being is able to think and to perceive and to understand. This is what God means when in Parshas Bereishis he says, let us make a man in our image. That man be able to perceive and understand forms that don't have any matter associated with them. So that he can be similar to them, to the angels. We shouldn't think, the Rambam says, that when God says, that he means that he's referring to man's physical makeup, his face, his eyes, ears, nose, etc. Those things are all called toar, the description of man. But tselem, which is like tzura, the form of man, that refers to the soul. Similarly, God was not referring to the animalistic soul that all living beings have, like animals that allow them to eat and drink and feel things. Ela hadeashi tzurata nefesh, referring here to the intellect. Uvitzurata nefesh hakatum medaberu. Pamim rabot tikarei zot hatzura nefesh v'ruach. The words nefesh and ruach are used to refer to this soul. V'chach tzurich lizeher b'shemot shelo titeh v'chol shem shem yilameid me'inyano. Since the words nefesh and ruach can sometimes refer to the distinctly human soul, intelligence, and sometimes refer to the animalistic soul that all life has, so one must always be careful when coming across the words to learn from the context which of these concepts it is referring to. Halacha Tet. Ein tzurat hanefesh hazot mechuberet min hayisodot kedei shetipared lahem. This nefesh, this intelligent soul, is not made from the elements so that it can, you know, it would break down into them. It's also not like the neshama. The Rambam here is using the word neshama not to mean soul, as in, you know, the intelligent human soul, like we often use it, but just to mean the basic life force, that which makes a body alive. It could be for an animal or for a human being. this nefesh, this intelligent soul, is not like the neshama, because the neshama is meaningless without a body to enliven, whereas this nefesh, this intelligent soul, is from God, and as we'll see, can exist without the body. Lefichach kishipared hagolem shehu mechubar min hayisodot v'tovat haneshama, and therefore when the matter, that is the body, dies and decomposes, and the life force, the neshama that pervaded it, is lost, because the neshama can't exist without the body. The nefesh, this intelligent soul, will not be lost. It does not require the neshama. This nefesh can survive by itself. It can know, it knows its creator, and it can live forever. This is as Shlomo said in Kohelet, V'yashov ha'afar al ha'aretz kishahaya, v'haruach tashuv el ha'elokim asher netana. The dust, meaning the human body, when it decomposes, will return to the ground, but the ruach, that is the nefesh, this intelligent soul, will return to the God which gave it, which put it in the human body. Halacha yud. Kol hadereim ha'elu shidibarnu binyan ze. Everything that we spoke about on this topic, kemar midlihem, are like a drop in the bucket. Uvarim amukimem, and they are very deep matters, aval inam ka'omek inyan perak rishon v'sheni. Prakim gimel and dalet are not as deep as the matters of the first two prakim. And it's actually interesting that in perak bet, halacha in Aleph, the Rambam had said that those matters of Parakim Aleph and Bet about Maaseh Merkava, there he said it was Kemoti Pam Min Hayam, like a drop in the ocean. And here these matters of Parakim Gimel and Dalet, he's saying are Kemar Midli, like a drop in the bucket. So he's using different analogies, perhaps to indicate that the first two Parakim are a larger matter, like the sea, whereas these two Parakim are just like a bucket of water, which are a smaller matter. But in either case, he's saying that what he has described in the Mishnah Torah is only like a drop out of each of them. Uveur kol elu hadvarim shebeperek shlishi urvi'i hu hanikra maaseh bereishit. All these matters which we describe in the third and fourth prakim, the structure of the universe, from the galgalim, the celestial spheres, to the four elements, the sodot, earth, air, fire, and water, and now just this last part about the nature of the human soul, these things are all called maaseh bereishit. Vekach tzivu chachamim harishonim she'ein dorshin gam badvarim ha'elu barabim ela ladam echad bilvad modi'im dvarim. And these matters also, Chazal said, they should not be taught in public, but only to one student at a time. Halachayot Aleph, Uma bein inyan maaseh merkava inyan maaseh bereishit. What's the difference between maaseh merkava, that is Prakim Aleph and Bet, and maaseh bereishit, Prakim Gimel and Dalet, in terms of how it's supposed to be taught? Shinyan maaseh merkava afilu lechad ein dorshin bo, elem kein haya chacham umevin midato, benotnin lo rashei prakim. So as we saw in Perek Bet, matters of Maaseh Merkava are not even to be taught to a single student unless that student is especially wise and able to understand things on his own. And even then, you only give him the chapter headings, as it were, and he's supposed to understand the rest on his own. Vinyan maaseh bereishit melamdin oto liyachid af al pi sheino mevin oto midato umavdin oto kol sheyachol leida midvarim elu. On the other hand, maaseh bereishit, the topics of Prakim Gimel and Dalet, that you are allowed to teach to one student, even if he doesn't understand things well on his own, you can teach it to him, and you can teach him everything, as much as he can understand. You don't have to limit yourself to the chapter headings, the Rashi Prakim. V'lama ein melamdin oto l'rabim. So in that case, why not teach it in public? Because not everyone is really capable of understanding these things, and therefore best not to teach it to a group, but rather one-on-one. Halacha yud bet. Bizman shadam mitbonen badvarim ha'elu umakir kol habruim mimalach ve'galgal ve'adam ha'chayotzebo. When a person examines all these things and understands the spheres, the angels, humans, how they're created, as we described in these chapters, and he perceives the wisdom of God in everything that God created. nafsho v'yichma b'saro le'hov ha'makom baruch hu. This only adds to his love of God, and his soul thirsts even more to love God. V'yir'a v'yifchad mishifluto v'dalato v'kalato k'shi'arocha atzmo le'achad me'agufot ha'kdoshim v'ha'gdolim v'kol shechein le'achad me'atzurot ha'teorot ha'nifradot min ha'glamim sh'lo nitchabru b'golem klal v'imtza atzmo shu k'chlim malei b'ushar chlima reik v'chaser. And so too he will begin to fear and realize how tiny and insignificant he is compared to these wonderful creations. So the Rambam is reiterating here what led us to these discussions in the first place, namely that it's understanding Maaseh Merkava, Maaseh Bereishit, which leads a person to love God by perceiving the wisdom of God's creation, and at the same time to fear God by recognizing how lowly he himself is in comparison to the wonder and the grandeur of God's creation. Halach Yod Gimel, v'inyanei arba'a prakim elu, shebechamesh mitzvot elu. The matters in these four chapters related to the five mitzvot that the Rambam has already discussed, namely, believing in the existence of God, believing in the unity of God, the prohibition against believing in the existence of any other God, and then the two mitzvot of loving God and fearing God. Heim shachachamim arishonim karin otan pardes. This is what Chazal referred to as pardes. The word means orchard, and it's a metaphor for learning these deep topics. Kamosh amru, arba'a nichnesu lepardes. In the famous story of the four who entered the pardes, this is a story that appears in the Tosefta and in the Gemara, of four Tanaim who entered the pardes, who studied these matters, Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Rabbi Akiva, and Acher, that's Elisha ben Avuya. And each one met a different fate as a result. Ben Azai died after examining these matters too closely. Ben Zoma went mad. Acher, that is Elisha ben Avuya, went off the derech and abandoned Torah and mitzvot. And only Rabbi Akiva did not suffer any adverse effects from learning about these matters. Va'afa bishe gedulei Yisrael hayu, v'chachamim gedulim hayu, lo kulam haya behen koach leida ulasig kol hadvarim al buryan. Even though all four of them were great sages, they did not have the strength to really understand these matters properly to their greatest depth. V'ani omer she'ein ra'ui li Tayel b'pardes ela mish nitmalei kreso lechem ubasar. And I say, says the Rambam, whenever he says Vani Omer, that's an indication that the Rambam is giving his own view here without a clear and specific source in Chazal, that the only ones who should stroll in the orchard, who should learn these deep matters, are ones who have already filled their stomachs with bread and meat. Meaning what? V'lechem ubasar zehu leida be'ur ha'asur v'amutar v'chayotze behen mishar ha'mitzvot. First, you should learn Torah, understand what's asur, what's mutar. Only someone who has already mastered the rest of Torah should then delve into these matters. Even though the Chachamim referred to the asur and mutar and other mitzvot, they were referred to by Chazal as a small matter. There's a Gemara in Bava Batra that refers to Maaseh Merkava as a big matter, and Havayot Dabai V'Rava, meaning halacha, essentially, the arguments of Abai and Rava and of other Amoraim in the Gemara. Strictly halachic matters, that's referred to as a smaller matter, a relatively smaller matter, Dabar Katon. Nonetheless, it's nonetheless appropriate to learn the Dabar Katan first and be a master in that, and only then approach the Dabar Gadol. They settle a person's mind first and prepare him to be able to then learn these deep matters of Maaseh Bereishit, Maaseh Merkava, in general terms, pardes. Ve'od she'ein ha'tuva gedola she'ishpi'a Kadosh Baruch Hu li'yishuv ha'olam hazeh k'dei linchol chayei olam haba. And furthermore, the mitzvot are what Hashem gave us in order that a person can get olam haba by doing mitzvot. Ve'efshar she'idei'im ha'kol gedol ve'katan v'ish v'isha ba'alev rachav u'ba'alev katsar. And those things, the asur mutar, the mitzvot, that anyone can learn in their entirety, even someone who does not have the wisdom, the intelligence, and the patience to learn Maaseh Bereishit and Maaseh Merkava. It should be noted that others differ with the Rambam about what exactly Pardes refers to, and many understand that it refers to Kabbalah, to Jewish mysticism. The Rambam does not make any mention of a mystical tradition, and he believes that Maaseh Bereishit refers to science and Maaseh Merkava to aspects of religious philosophy as discussed in these last four chapters. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.